So let's dive deep. Let's do it. The only thing I know is that I don't know anything. Are you really ready to look at yourself? You are seen, you are heard, you are loved. Cut all that out. Just say the deep dive with Adam Roa. I don't like any of that.
The Deep Dive with Adam Roa.
Hello, deep divers. Thank you for joining me. My name is Adam Roa, and we're about to go into a deep dive musing. We're about to journey into what's present for me now, which I'm learning to trust more and more is what is often present for a lot of people. There's this collective field that I feel like as I continue to open my heart more and more, and I continue to just trust in my intuition more and more, the more connected I become to this unified field that we all share. And so the other day I posted about how I woke up in the morning and I felt so heavy, and in my meditation I wanted to cry, and like this just feeling, I was like, what is going on? And then when I really tuned into that, I recognized that's not me. There was nothing in my life that was causing that for myself. And yet it was a feeling I had for the collective. I was just tapped into that when I woke up in the morning. And so, yeah, that's something that a lot of people feel. If you're listening to this, you may be one of those people who often is just like, yeah, why am I feeling this way? And recognizing that may just be the collective energy. You may be consciously aware of that or not. And so, I'm not sure where I was going with that. I guess because I'm sharing what I'm about to share this morning, I feel like it's a good feeling to know that there are people out there who are feeling the same thing. And I just know that, and I've learned to trust that. So what I want to talk about today is my evening two nights ago and what I learned from that experience and the conversation I got into with the Uber driver, which inspired this musing. So, starting from the beginning, on Sunday, which was 2 days ago, because as I'm recording this, this is Tuesday morning, and I had a wonderful day. Farmers market, played the handpan, did some work, got some work done, and then the evening came around, and Azria had an immersive client experience that she needed the house for. And so when those are happening, I like to get out of the house and create just a full, free energy container for her so that she can be in the house and have her immersion, and then I don't have to worry about being quiet or being loud or wanting to grab food upstairs or whatever that may be. And so during this time, I was thinking to myself, what is it that I... Oh, that's a loud train. What is it that I actually want to do? And I had so many things come up. One of the first things was to go see a movie. I wanted to go see a movie that Azria would not normally see. And I had these two movies, Baby Driver and Dunkirk, that I'm interested in seeing, and I knew Azria would have no interest in. So I said, okay, maybe I'll go see one of those. I'll just go by myself. I used to go to movies by myself all the time. It doesn't bother me. I know some people feel weird about going to movies by themselves, but I actually enjoy it. And then there was a part of me that felt super social and actually wanting to connect with people, but I didn't know who or what that would look like. And so I decided to turn it over to the universe, because as I described previously when talking about the handpan that I now get the opportunity to play and own, is I'm finding ways to tap into my flow state more consciously and finding ways to surrender into the universe and just trust. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'd recommend that you listen to the handpan story, which is another musing that I recorded a little bit ago. So what I am doing is finding these ways to actively engage in my surrender, finding ways to actively tap into flow state. And so I decided to turn my evening over to the universe. I posted on social media, on my Instagram story and on my Facebook, and said, hey, I have a free evening. Anyone who's in the Encinitas area or willing to drive to the Encinitas area, like who wants to connect and wants to meet up and do something, whether that's dinner or bowling or a movie or whatever, let me know and let's do this. Then I went and recorded a Facebook Live. And in that time, I had three people respond and said they would like to take me up on this offer. And so Nina, Maz, and Michael all met me at this restaurant, Eve in Encinitas, and we hung out. We had a great conversation. And then Michael left, and Maz and Nina and I decided to go bowling. And so we went bowling, which was a fantastic time. And anyone, if you had the opportunity to see it on my Instagram story while it was up, you can see that it was just a fun evening overall. And on the way home, I got into an Uber, and the driver was talking about his daughters. And one of his daughters plays for the junior Olympic team in volleyball, which is pretty impressive to be on the junior Olympic team, meaning having a path potentially to be on the actual Olympic team for volleyball. That's really impressive. And he was saying how he regularly encourages her and motivates her, and at the same time tells her that, you know, it's really hard. Very few people make a living playing volleyball, and it's, you know, be also, he said, trying to keep her, you know, being realistic. And during that conversation, I just shared with him, you know, my experience around that exact thing, but from the other end. And recognizing that everything I did growing up felt like I was doing it to prove people wrong. My freshman year of high school, I played football. And at the beginning of the football season, my freshman year of high school, I weighed 73 pounds. And the pads didn't really fit me well. And a bunch of people told me I shouldn't play. I'm too small. I'm not fast enough. Like all of that. Like even imagine just the helmet and the pads and how much they weigh and the percentage of my total weight that those pads accounted for. And I said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it because everyone's telling me I can't. And I continually found ways to do that. When people told me I couldn't do something, it just made me want to do it more. And so I would consistently, and I would just regularly try and prove people wrong. That became my motivation. And what I recognized is when I made the decision to come move to Los Angeles to pursue a career as an actor, I was incredibly insecure about it. I had so much doubt that I remember a conversation I had with my best friend at the time, and I said, hey, I just need you to be 100% honest with me. Do you think I'll be able to make it? Do you think that I can do it? And so it's so funny to look back and realize, wow, I was so scared and so insecure that I needed someone else to tell me that I could. someone who legitimately had no input whatsoever. They had no, like, they weren't an agent, they weren't a manager, they weren't an actor at all. And like, I just had to hear it from someone. Someone whose opinion I trusted and I valued. And it's this interesting situation because while there is something about quote unquote realistic, meaning there are some jobs, there are some professions, there are some feats that are harder than others, let's say. They becoming a working, like, famous actor is something that is a lot less common than becoming a career accountant or a teacher or a firefighter or something like that, right? There's just less of them. And that does not in any way mean that you can't do it. It doesn't mean in any way that it's impossible for you. And often people get this idea in their head of how hard something is, and once they decide that it's that hard, it becomes that hard. And because we have this collective field of belief, there's this really powerful thing that happens when the entire collective believes something is really hard to do. It gets ingrained in us on like a cellular level in our biology. Oh, it's like, that's super hard to do. So it becomes that much harder. And so it reminded me of Roger Bannister. And Roger Bannister, who was the first person to run a sub-4-minute mile. And one of those things that is often spoken about, because no one thought it was possible to run a mile in under 4 minutes. No one thought it was possible. Everyone said it's impossible. It's just not humanly possible to do it. And then Roger Bannister ran his mile in 3 minutes and 59 seconds. And as soon as he did that, it became possible. Everyone was like, holy crap, that's now a thing that can be done? I didn't realize that. His record was broken within just 46 days. 46 days. And multiple people began breaking that record pretty much immediately after Roger Bannister did, after no one being able to do it and people saying it was impossible. Because the moment someone did it, everyone knew it was possible, which opened up the potential. And so, if that's working collectively, right, and we have these beliefs as a society, we have these beliefs as a human race that work to hold us in a certain frequency, recognize that works just with one other person. And the more energy you have invested in that person, the more of an effect their belief will have on you. So when you're like a 14-year-old girl who wants to pursue the Olympics, and your dad is your everything, having your dad tell you how hard it is and how you need to be realistic and how few people are actually successful doing that. Think of the effect that has, even subconsciously, on what that girl believes is possible. Even if they have enough willpower, like I did, to say, screw that, I'm doing it anyway. Think about the amount of energy that has to go to just overcome those limiting beliefs. And if those limiting beliefs weren't there, if they weren't being reinforced by other people, where could that energy go? That energy could be flowing into more possibility rather than just overcoming those restrictive beliefs. And so bringing this around to some tangible steps, one, I want to encourage you to look at if you're someone who is providing others around you with possibility or restriction. And it's not even the stuff that you just say, it's what you actually believe. When I first started coaching, one of the biggest things that I said that was that in order for me to be in integrity, I have to actually believe that my clients' dreams are possible. It's one of the biggest things that coaches do and why you should be very selective about who you decide to work with, is because there may be no one else in your life who holds the vision of what's possible for you except for you. And that is one of the biggest benefits of hiring a coach, because now you have someone in your life who not only sees your vision as like totally possible, but often sees past that vision and says, actually, your vision is limiting yourself. You can do so much more than that. And so having someone in your life who believes that what you believe is possible and achievable is massive. So on both ends of that, one, are you that person for others? Deep down, when your friends are talking about their dreams and what they want to create, when your son or your daughter is telling you about their goals, internally, are you immediately going, wow, totally possible. I'm going to hold that vision for you. Or inside, are you going, yeah, they're not good enough. They're not fast enough. They're not strong enough. They're not smart enough. Or that's just too hard. I don't know anyone who's ever become a famous actor, so it's just impossible. Where is your internal beliefs? Because I'll tell you this, and this was another Facebook post, which is those beliefs about what is possible that go on inside yourself when someone tells you their dreams actually don't reflect anything about what's possible for that person. They reflect your own limiting beliefs or your own ability for possibility. When someone says, oh, I want to be an Olympic volleyball player, and your mind goes, yeah, that's really hard, it's probably not realistic, that's your own limiting belief. That's your limitations that are being reflected back to you. They're not actually reflecting back to you what's possible for that person. Anything that anyone wants to create is possible. Muggsy Bogues was an NBA basketball player who was like 5'8". I'm going to actually look it up because I want to give you his exact height. Shortest player ever to play in the NBA. Wow, okay. 5'3". He had a 14-season NBA career. and he was 5'3", 135 pounds. He was smaller, he was shorter, and weighed less than I do. And he played 14 years in the National Basketball Association, where the average height in the NBA must be like 6'4 or something like that. And how many people told him it's not possible? Before Muggsy did it, how many people were just like, yeah, it's just not even possible? So are you the person who provides possibility for others? Or are you the one who's holding them in a frequency of restriction and limitation? And then on the other side of that, how many people in your life are holding you in the frequency of your dreams and possibility? Are you surrounded by people who actually believe that you can accomplish what you want to accomplish? Or are you surrounded by people who internally are like, yeah, I don't know about that one? Both of those ends are something to look at. Who are you and who are you surrounded by? That father, that Uber driver who said he was keeping his daughter realistic, while, mind you, she's on the Junior Olympic team, expressed a number of limiting beliefs as to the reasons why it was unrealistic. But those are his limiting beliefs. Those are his, not hers. And if we're not careful, sooner or later, we will impose those limiting beliefs on people all around us, even subconsciously, even if they're not aware of it, just like with Roger Bannister and the collective saying, oh, it's impossible, it makes it that much harder. If we're walking around seeing the world through limitation, we are limiting the world. Do you believe that world peace is possible? Like, in your lifetime, do you believe that you can see world peace? Can you envision a world where there is no starvation, where everyone has food? Everyone has access to clean water? If you answer no, if deep down you're like, no, I actually don't think it's even possible for world peace, you are contributing to the limitations of that world peace. Everything that's ever happened, everything that's ever been created through human beings first started because someone thought it was possible. And we can only create in that space. We can only create from what we can imagine to be true. That's how this whole manifestation thing works. We are the creators of our reality, but if we can't vision it and we can't believe that it's possible, it will not happen. And so that's where the work lies. If you want to exist in a land of possibility, if you want to exist in a world of world peace, if you want to exist in a life where anything you want to do, you feel empowered to do it, and you see people around you empowered in their own dreams, then take a look internally at who you are being. Get very honest with yourself. You don't have to share that with anybody. But until you're honest with yourself, there's no potential for you to change those aspects. And when I first started coaching, I had to be really honest with myself. And there were a couple people who reached out for coaching, and I said, wow, I don't actually believe that this person can accomplish what they want to accomplish. Therefore, I'm not the right coach for them. And I get to work on that. I get to work on that. Because that's not their limitations, those are mine. I believe in infinite possibilities. I believe we are the creators of our reality, and just about everything difficult I can think of, there's someone who's done something just as difficult, if not more. I grew up thinking, oh, it's not going to be possible for me to play professional sports. I'm just a late bloomer. It's just not possible. Then I see Muggsy Bogues, 5'3" in the NBA. Anything that you want is possible with enough level of belief. And it's easier when you have the supporting beliefs of the people around you. Be the change you wish to see. Thank you so much for taking this time to listen to this musing. I trust that if you've heard it, there's a reason you've heard it. You are seen, you are heard, and you are loved.